How many is ready for the word of the Lord this morning? There you go. I'm ready to share with you on this last Sunday of 2019, heading into the new year of 2020. Can you believe that? 2020. Man, we're there. Just coming along. So this is last Sunday. Let me just tell you, next week I will be starting a new series. Really excited about that. We're calling it 2020, right? 2020. How many want to have 2020 vision for your life? How many want to see 2020? I believe this year that God is going to allow us to see things more clearly. We're going to talk about how you can begin to see things. Some of you have been, stagnant in your vision. Some of you have been stagnant in your walk with God. But I am just want to prophesy to you a little bit this morning and tell you it's going to be a year of abundance, that God is going to bless you, that God's going to allow breakthrough to happen in your life. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God that it's going to be that's not any other year, but it will be a year of blessing for you. And so I hope that you're ready for 2020 vision. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better be ready. Come on, 2020 vision next Sunday. Now, today I want to ask you, leading into that, just some things that I've been just personally praying about heading into the new year, and I thought I would share them with you this morning. I want to ask you the question about trust, that word trust. Who do you trust? Who and what do you put your trust in? The word trust is a simple definition from just the dictionary, is to have confidence or dependence on the reliability, truth, or strength of someone or something. So basically, to shorten that up, we have confidence in someone or something. Confidence in someone or something. What are you putting your trust in? We make a lot of trust decisions every day, don't we? We'll make hundreds of trust decisions this day. We'll make hundreds of trust decisions tomorrow when we get up. We get up and we go out there and we get in our car. We trust it's going to start, right? We trust it's going to start. We trust that we can push on the gas. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, it took a lot of faith. You don't know my car. How many know I've driven those cars before, and I understand. But man, I know sometimes it's a little bit of faith, but for the most part, we believe that, man, we're going to get out there, my car's going to start, and I'm going to get down the road where I need to go. The other day, I was in the store, and I got a cappuccino, and I was leaving and got down the road, went to take a drink, and man, it was lukewarm at best. And it was so watered down. Something went terribly wrong with the mixture. And it was horrible. And I turned my car around, went in, and exchanged it for another one. But I bought that and left the store, not even thinking twice about whether or not it was good. I just trusted, Jeff, that it was going to be all right. And it wasn't until I got down the road that I discovered, man, I had a lot of faith. I should have checked that before I left the store. Then I wouldn't have had to go back and go through the trouble of going back into the store. We put a lot of trust in a lot of things. I trust when I go through the green light, I'm trusting that the other side is working, right? I'm trusting that the other side is red. I'm trusting that all four sides are green at one time. We put a lot of trust every day. We don't even think about it, but we're constantly putting trust. I'm trusting that as I walked up here today, that this platform will hold me. Even though I put on a little extra weight during the holiday season, please don't judge me. Like I'm just saying, I'm trusting that it's going to hold me up, right, and sustain me. We put trust in things every day. And I just ask you, what are you trusting today? What are you putting your trust in today? See, at the foundation of trust, we really only have two choices. At the foundation of trust, two choices for placing our trust is simply man or God. Somebody else or ourself or God. That's really our two choices of putting our trust. And the Bible talks clearly about both of these choices. Jeremiah 17:5 talks about putting your trust in man. Look what he says. Thus says God, the Lord, cursed, that's always good, encouraging, cursed is the man who trusts in the man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. And so this word trust here, when it's talking about this, I'm really big about we need to build relationships with each other. You've heard me teach that. You've heard me promote that. You've heard our staff promote that. Our leadership promote that. We were designed to need each other. We do. We need each other. We need fellowship. you know this, when you're gone for just even a short time, you're like, man, I miss the fellowship. I miss the hugs. I miss the encouragement. I miss having that person to lean on. We're built that way, and we should be doing church together. We should be networking together. We should be supporting each other. But I will tell you this, that when you put your trust in man alone, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. We're setting ourselves up. The Bible says we're not to do that. Because anybody who is a person is flawed. Me, you, the person you're sitting next to you, we're all flawed. And as good as a person is that, and as strong and godly as a person that can be, eventually they will let you down. Eventually they will let you down. That's why we put all of our trust in somebody, eventually they will let us down. And then our world goes spinning around out of control. Like, what's going to happen now? What's going on now? I put all my trust in them. And no, my trust should be in God alone. My trust is in God. I have relationships with man. They pray for me. They encourage me. They can teach me. They can lead me. I can lead them. We can serve each other. We can lead and advance the kingdom of God together. But my trust is fully in God. There is where the blessing lies. And when I allow my trust to be fully in man, I'm going to set myself up for disappointment somewhere in the future. And the Bible says it's a cursed. It's cursed. And what does he mean by cursed? He's talking about a divine harm. It causes divine harm when I put all my trust in man. Man, I put all my trust in them, and man, they blew it. Oh, God, you know, and spiritually it sends me into a spiral. As someone has a failure and it causes you to fall off because they had a failure, then you had too much trust in them. I'm telling you, our trust solely belongs in God. He's the only one who will not fail us. He's the only one who will not disappoint us. It doesn't mean I isolate myself. No, the Bible's very clear on that we are to do life together, encourage one another, pray one for another, serve one another. Man, we're called to do life together. But my trust belongs to God. That's where it's at. That's where we have another option. This is, I'm so thankful that we're not just have the cursed option, but we have the blessed option. In verse 7 of Jeremiah 17, look what it says. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. Come on now, you gotta say it like you're preaching hard this morning. Say, blessed. There you go. Say, blessed. There you go. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. This is where the blessings go. Let me say this to you again. God will never let you down. God will never disappoint you. His yes is yes, and his no is no. But I'm telling you, if he ever says no, it's because he's got a better yes waiting for you. God will never disappoint you. God will never let you down. It's just up to us to say, can I trust him? See, sometimes God says not now and says no, and we're like, all right, I got a better way. I'll do it myself. And we miss out on the blessing of trusting and waiting for God to bring the answer or God to supply the need or God to lead us to the next place he's trying to take us. He's trying to set us up for a blessing if we'll just trust him. He wants us to learn to put our trust fully in God. And going into 2020, I want you to know this. I want to go into 2020 trusting the Lord on a whole new level. I am declaring in my own personal life, and I'm challenging you to join me today, that we say, God, I'm going to trust you like never before in 2020. I'm going to learn to lean on you like never before in 2020. I want to take it to another level. I want to go. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I'm not satisfied for what I'm doing. There's something greater that God's got for me. There's something greater that God's got for you. There's something greater he has for Destiny Church. And it comes and we say, God, I'm going to begin to trust you. Get my eyes off of people and get my eyes on God. God, am I pleasing you? God, am I going after you? God wants to bless us. He wants to take us there. But it's going to involve trust, full trust, full trust. And so let me give you two truths about accepting about God that we got to have this. And total trust, if you're going to trust God, you got to know these two truths. Number one, God is bigger than we think he is. We got to let him out of the box. God is bigger than we think he is. We must let God out of the box. Stop limiting God to our box. You know, when we have small children, what do? We put them in cribs, don't we? Because we feel comfortable there, in that little bit small crib. And as they get a little bit older, we say, all right, well, put them in a baby bed with bars. No wonder so many people want to be incarcerated. They grew up in bars. I remember Preston, when he was a young child, he would stand up and put his hands behind that bars, you know, and he'd grab a hold of those bars and shake, like, let me out. Shook that old crib to death, man. I'm telling you, rattled that thing hard. And I always felt like I put my son in prison, you know, because he'd be behind those bars just shaking them, you know, like, let me out. And finally, they kind of outgrow that, and we trust them to get a toddler bed. Remember that, those days? All right, we can trust you now. We can at least, you know, if you get up, you're at least going to, you know, do the right thing. And so we trust them and get their toddler bed. And sometimes we take them and advance them to a playpen, you know, and then from a playpen to a play area, we put up gates. We trust you in this room, but we don't trust you in that room. Mama got way too many things that can be breaking there. So we don't trust you in there. And we put up gates. And then eventually we, all right, you're old enough now, we can take away the gates. It's like it expands, right? It's like our trust expands. And for many of us, I think our trust never expands with God. You know, many of us, our trust never expands with God. It's kind of like that dog we keep in the kennel when we're gone. Because I know if I leave, I'm going to come back and there's going to be snow from the pillows all over my house. I can't trust him to be gone. He's probably going to go to the bathroom on my carpet or something's going to happen. So I don't have trust. So you're going to stay outside. You're going to stay in the garage. You're going to stay in the kennel. But I can't leave. You know, it takes trust to build up, to expand. And for some of us, we limit God to our trust to what we can see. We limit God to what we've experienced. We limit God to what we comprehend. We limit God to what we think he can do. And I just want to tell you, God is so much bigger than that. We have got to get God out of our box. Stop limiting God to your box. I've got to stop limiting God to his box, my box. You've got to stop limiting God to the box we're trying to put God in. God is bigger than that. How big is God today? God is wanting our trust is only as big as our box. Our trust is only as big as our box. How big is your box today? Ephesians 3:20 says it like this. Now to him who is, come on, somebody say present tense. This is present tense. This is God is presently. God to now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we could ask, we could imagine, according to the power that works in us. That sounds like to me God's wanting to blow our socks off. God's wanting to blow our mind of what he wants to do if we'll just stop limiting God. God, you want to do exceed. You want to exceed anything I think you can do. God, you want to bless abundantly more than what I think I deserve. I believe that God wants to bless exceedingly, abundantly. The word says it, and it doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is wanting to bless some people if we'll just begin to believe him for it. If we'll just begin to walk in trust. I'm telling you, I'm going to trust in man. Well, you go ahead. But I'm going to learn to trust in God even more. I'm saying, God, I want you to take me to a place where when people say what's happening is only because of God, not because of man. I believe God has got a God-sized vision for my life. Does God have a God-sized vision for your life? You got to believe that. God, yes, you want to do more than I could ever dream or imagine. More than I could even think about asking for. I can't even articulate, God, what you want to do. How big is your box today? Number two, we must recognize God is in all things. See, I understand how big he is, and I must also recognize that God is in all things. That simply means this. It's easy to believe God is good when the presents are under the tree. How many had good behaved kids on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? Anybody here? Your kids were exceptionally good on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Anybody here? Yeah. And you're like, why? Because they know. They're about to open up presents, right? Oh, Mom, let me help you with the dishes. Mom, let me help you vacuum. Oh, company, grandma's coming over. Let me clean up the room and let me help you out, Mom. Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll help take the trash out. Bless you, Father. I got up praying for you and Mom today. Hallelujah. I mean, kids be acting all grateful and great wife because they know. They know it's Christmas. They're about to open some presents. But January 3rd comes around. Why? Oh, my God. Why you got to take the trash out? I got to take the dishes. I got to take my laundry to my room. Oh, my God. I mean, where all that grateful heart go? It's easy. It's easy to be obedient. It's easy to trust God when things are going well. It's in the challenging season where trust is really developed. It's in the challenging season of the pain, the hardship, the trial that trusting God is developed in our life. And we got to recognize that the same God that's there in the blessing is the same God that's there in the fire. God is there in our life, in every area of our life. God is not leaving us. God is not abandoning us. He is there with us. And if we'll just trust him, he will lead me out of this dark season. He will lead me through this challenge. He'll lead me through this painful season of my life. And there's a blessing waiting for those who trust in the Lord. It's there. Don't give heart. Don't lose heart. You got to recognize, God, you're in all things. God may not have caused the pain to happen, but he'll never leave you in the middle of that pain. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yo, I'm with you always. God is always with us. As Christians, God is always with us. He is not leaving us even during the most difficult season of our life. And trust requires us to see him there. Anybody can see him when things are going well. Anybody can see him when the blessings are flowing. But can you trust and see that God, do you trust God is really there when everything's falling apart in your life? Do you trust that God is going to sustain you and put things back together even better than before if you'll just trust in the Lord and follow the Lord? That's where it's at. That's where trust is proven. That's where trust is matured. That's where we're able to say, yes, Lord. And God see that we mean what we say. God may not have caused it, but he's there. He doesn't leave. See, trust is built through the painful seasons of our life. This is where trust is built. It's through that pain. It's through the hard season. I've been there more than I care to say. You've been there more than you care to say. But it's through not giving up. It's through pressing on and believing the Lord and putting my trust in God. Man's not going to help me out of this. God's going to help me out of this. Man's not going to sustain me out of this. God will sustain me through this. God will bring me through this. This is where trust is built in our life. In closing today, I want to give you three areas that, for most part, I believe we really battle with trust. I've had a lot of people come to me with this area of counsel and say, I'm trying to trust God for this area of my life. And if I could hone in all the areas, there's probably three that really stand out the most. There's more, but three that really stand out today. Let me touch on those briefly. Number one, your direction. You got to trust God in your direction. Your direction in life. People always ask, you know, is this the right direction? Am I going in the right direction? Is God leading me the right way? Well, I feel like God's leading me, but man, I don't know. You know, let me just say this to you. This is not nothing new. The children of Israel, God delivered them out of bondage as slaves out of Egypt, delivered them, was taking them all the way to the promised land after all the signs and wonders he did, bringing Moses and everything that happened. Then after they get out of there, they're in the desert. What they do? Let's go back. God, where are you? It's too hot out here. We don't have any food out here. We had it better off going back where we used to be slaves. At least there we knew we had some meals. And yeah, you know, there they raped your children, raped your wife, made you work 16 hours a day, never gave you a day off. But you go ahead and go back to there. Why? Because in our mind, we have more trust in Pharaoh than we do God. We have more trust in man than we do God. No, you got to trust God. God, I don't see. This looks kind of like a desert to me. But God, if you can deliver me out of that, God, you can sustain me through the desert. I had to eat manna. Woo, whoopee whoop, cry me a river. You were delivered out of Egypt. You see, it's not, this is not a new problem. People have been complaining about, God, where are you taking me? God, listen, you can trust the Lord with your direction of your life. God is going to lead you. When you put fully in the trust, he's going to lead you. Trust the Lord with your direction. You can trust the Lord with your reputation. Listen, man, I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know them as the three Hebrew children talked about in the book of Daniel. And we hear the story of King Nebuchadnezzar building this great big idol statue of himself. And he commanded all the land. When you hear the music, you stop where you're at. You bow to that idol and you worship that idol. And of course, they knew. They were giving their heart to God. They had said, they had made a vow to God. God, we're making a vow to you. You're the only God we will serve. We know what the law says. The law says that we are to never worship and bow to another graven image. We know that, God, there are no gods before you. So, King, we respect you. King, we will honor you. King, we will serve you, but we refuse to bow to any other God. When people ask, when is it okay to disobey the laws of the land? And when should you obey them? You should always obey the laws of the land. Jesus said, give Caesar what's Caesar's, right? I mean, even Mary and Joseph, they had to go travel to do the census. I mean, there's things required that the government we got to do. But when any time the law ever states that I turn my back and bow to another idol, no, sir, I got to say, as for me and my house, we're standing up. We're going to serve the Lord. I've got to trust if I put God first. This is a different day and age. People will laugh at you. People will think you're out of touch. People will think God doesn't work in you. My reputation will take a hit. My reputation. Listen, who cares about your reputation? They talked about Jesus. They'll talk about you. I'm telling you, Jesus says, you can trust me with your reputation. You can trust me when you do the right thing, when you put your trust fully in God and don't put your trust in man. God has the ability to do things that can never be done. Of course, we know the story goes on that they were threatened and they were warned that we'll be put in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar turns up the heat 7 times hotter than it ever was. And they wouldn't bow. So he ordered his soldiers to throw them, bound them up and throw them into the hot furnace. And it was so hot when they threw them in that the soldiers died from the heat of the flames. It was so hot. But when the king began to get close enough to look down and see the fire, he says, wasn't there 3 men that we threw in the fire? And he goes, the soldiers are dead that threw them in, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're walking around free in the fire. And oh, there's 4 of them there, and one has the face of the Son of God. I'm telling you, God will be in the fire with you. God will walk in the fire with you. God will be there with you through every hard, difficult season if you just put your trust in him. He doesn't leave you. And in one day, look at the response here. I love this response in Daniel 3:28 after this happened. The king Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who what? Come on now, someone say, trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey man, they're going to be torn from limb to limb. Their house is laid for ruins, and no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king did what? Come on now, are you kidding me? You mean they go from the fiery furnace to being promoted in one day? Yes, sir. That's how God works. God can do this in your life. Don't worry about your reputation. Worry about trusting the Lord. Let God be the defender of your reputation. I'm telling you, when you let God be the defender of your reputation, God will always sustain you. God will always bring you out. Even when you walk through the fire, God will be there with you. And the king promoted them from the furnace to the palace in one day. The same thing happened to Daniel from the lion's den back up to ruling and government. In one day, the same thing happened to Joseph from the pit, from the prison, ruling in one day. I'm telling you, when you let God be fully trusted in your life, God will take care of your reputation. God will promote you. God will guide you. God will lead you. And lastly, your provision. It's one of the things that people worry about, provision. Will God provide for me? I've got to make this happen. I got to make this happen. Listen, I work as hard as you want. You better have a good work ethic. God says a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. You better work hard. But I'm telling you, all provision comes from the Lord. My provision comes from the Lord. All blessing comes from the Lord. I can't put my trust in my own provision. My trust belongs to the Lord. It's His. It's His. And if He doesn't make the answer happen right now, God will sustain me through every challenge I face. It's His word. He said, Abraham, go sacrifice your son. I was just testing you, Abraham. I really didn't mean it, but because you were obedient and was going to sacrifice the one special thing in your life that I have given you, the one promise you were waiting on, because you were willing to give me and trust me even in that. Look up, Abraham, and name this place the place that God will provide. And God provided for him. He's telling you all through Scripture, we see this from the widow who gave what she had. Just a little bit, one more in the middle of famine. She cooked and gave the oil up for the prophet, and she never went dry during that whole famine. Why? Because she trusted, and God was her provision. You've got to see that God is your provision. Even if you're being blessed, it's coming from the Lord. And if I'm struggling, it's okay, because God will sustain me. God will carry me through every difficult season. Somebody say amen. I need to hear that. Amen. So as we get ready to close today, who will you trust in 2020? That's the question I have for you today. Who will you trust in 2020? I want to trust the Lord like I never had before. If I trust in people, if I trust in things, they will bring temporary happiness, as I talked about last week. People and things will bring temporary happiness, but they will never sustain me, because I'll also be disappointed, because people will bring disappointment. My circumstances will go up. My circumstances will go down. If I'm letting my joy and my happiness be geared on what I have and who I have, I'm going to be disappointed. But my joy is found in the Lord, who doesn't disappoint, who will sustain, who will carry me, who will promote me, who will bless me if I'll just trust Him fully through every hard season of my life. In God, you'll find joy. Come on, joy can't be taken away from you. Happiness can. I'm happy with my circumstances. Well, your circumstances can change. Just ask the weather, man. We all know that around here, right? In a matter of minutes, our circumstances can change. So my happiness, it goes. But joy, no, you can't take joy, because it's found in the trust in the Lord. It's found in the trust in the Lord. This is where the blessing is at. It's trusting in the Lord fully in my life. So who are you going to trust in 2020? I'm telling you right now, in my life, I'm believing God to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than I could ever dream or imagine in my life in 2020. I'm believing that for you in your life as well. I'm praying that for you and your wife as well, your life as well, and your wife, and your kids, and your children. Come on, even your dog. Amen, amen. All dogs going to heaven. Your cats are out. I'm sorry. They're of the devil, but your dogs are going to heaven. All right. Just kidding. You cat lovers, don't send me any hate mail this week, please. Let's bow our heads as the musicians play. Man, this is going to be a good year. I'm excited about 2020 vision. And it all starts right here. Do you know Jesus Christ today? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to learn to trust God, not only just in every area of my life. First of all, I need to trust Him with my heart. The Bible says that we are all sinners, fall short of God's glory. None of us are perfect. And it says whether I have one sin or I have thousands of sin, doesn't make a difference. We've all fallen short of God's glory in our life. And so this is what we need to do. The Bible says that we must first confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must believe it in our heart. We must confess it. That's the start. That's the start. It's a starting point. It's a place of saying, I want to learn to surrender my life to Jesus. And if you're here today, without anybody looking around but me, I just want to ask you that question. If you're here, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ this last Sunday of this decade. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life. Maybe you have, and you've been living a long ways away from him today. So I just want to return back home. I want to renew that relationship. But either way, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Like I said, we won't single you out. Nobody's looking at me. Can you just slip your hand up where you're at? Let me see that so I know you're ready to make that decision. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Come on, raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, man, this is where we start right here. Anybody else today, man? What an awesome day, man. This is, I can't think of any better way I'd rather spend my holiday Sunday than here with you, letting you accept Jesus. What a special day. If you haven't raised your hand and you want to do it, this is the last time I'm going to ask. Just raise it right now. Let me see it. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Thank you for those hands. Let's say this prayer together. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you out as well. We'll say it with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow you and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Put your hands together, man. This is why we're here. We love seeing those hands go up. Now listen, if you made your decision, it's just the very, very beginning. Man, you got to, 2020, you got to go in to say, all right, man, I'm going to learn of God. I'm going to learn to be like Jesus. It's just a starting point. If you don't have a home church, get back into a home church. Be here. If you have a home church, go there and tell them, man, I accepted Jesus. Make this your year that I learn to trust God in every area of my life. I'm going to invite you to stay on your feet. How many today say, Pastor, in 2020, I want to learn to trust God on another level. I want to learn to trust God on another level in my life. Come on, raise your hand if that's you. God was speaking to you today. Say, I'm believing God for that in my life. Yes? Come on. Let's sing this song in faith today. Let's make it the prayer of our heart. We will trust the Lord. I want you to raise your hands this morning before you leave. I want to pray with you. Can I pray with you? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that 2020 will be a season of trust like we've never seen before. God, I believe in my spirit that, God, you are wanting to do miracles in Destiny Church. God, you want to do miracles in the lives, the families, the marriages, the singles, God, in the finances, God, in salvations, God, in restorations. God, you want to do even greater things than we could dream, see, or imagine. And God, I pray that, Father, 2020, we'll learn to trust you like never before. We'll learn to give you full trust like never before. And trust you with every area of our life. And we give you praise. Come on, say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, I trust you. In Jesus' name. God, give you trust, Jesus. I give you trust, Lord. I give you trust, Lord. Come on, tell them. I give you trust, Lord. Someone believe it. God, I give you trust, God. I give you every area of my life. God, come on, tell them. God. Come on, let's sing it to them. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to trust the Lord like never before. Give him a big high five. Can you do that? Give him a big high five. Tell him Happy New Year. God bless you. Listen, don't miss next week. It's going to be great. 2020 vision. We love you. Have a happy and safe New Year. God bless you.